The word of the Lord says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth and to those things which are before. Notice this. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. We're going to go to verse 16. I'm going to focus on verse 16 this morning. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. The New Living Translation says, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. The CEV rendition says, we must keep going in the direction that we are now headed. Let us walk by the same. Let us mind the same. Let's keep going in the direction that we are now headed. Hold on to the progress which we've already made. And by the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. Keep going. Keep going. If you're going to help Pastor minister this morning, would you just lift your voices to the Lord? Hold the word of God in your hands, or maybe lift your hand to the Lord and just lift your voice. Can you do that? Come on. Lift your voices, RT. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, that's it. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice. Thank you, ladies. I can hear some of the ladies. Where are the men at? Come on, men. Hallelujah. 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 We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Somebody say amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. The Apostle Paul is the author of the book of Philippians. We know this. Philippians is a letter of encouragement to the Philippian believers. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians, a short book, a short epistle, which we would call it, one of the prison epistles. It's about four chapters long. He writes it while in a Roman in a Roman prison. He started the church in Philippi, which was a Roman colony, which we understand in Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul and Silas are imprisoned, what we would often refer to in the apostolic Pentecostal world as the revival at midnight, where they begin to sing praises unto the Lord. And at midnight, the foundations of the prison shook. There was an earthquake, and they were let out, and the Lord did a remarkable work there, that the Philippian jailer was converted. Also, we understand in Philippi is where Paul met a lady by the name of Lydia at the river who was washing, and she was a believer, and there was obviously great revival in Philippi. We have all had times in our lives, whether in the church, out of the church, in life, with our health, with our relationships, with one another, with our finances, maybe within your career or education, that you made a personal declaration. Sister Donna, we've all met people that you see them one day, and then the next day there's a marked difference or a marked change. And it was because at that time and day in their life, they made a personal declaration that regardless of what it, somebody say it. Yes. If I could put it in parentheses or it in quotation marks, Sister Emily, it's regardless of what it looked like, regardless of what it felt like or who did or who didn't go along with it, we were going to keep going. Amen. Regardless if they were going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and put on their running shoes with you and go running, you were going to crawl out of bed and get into the garage and get on that treadmill and run. Regardless if the overtime was there, you were going to find a way to get out of debt. You were going to find a way, regardless if it was the most popular, whether it was the easiest thing to do, because change is inevitable. Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. We've seen that, where we've seen a lot of change. And some of you are here today, that there's been a lot of change, but you haven't grown because you fell behind. And so, but change is inevitable, but growth is optional. And so Paul is telling us in our scripture setting this morning that to let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. He's saying we must keep going in the direction that we are now headed. We must hold on to the progress that we have already made. I want to preach and get into our spirit and our mindset today that failure is not an option, and normal's not coming back, and the things of this world are going to get worse. But we've got to keep going on this path towards heaven, that regardless of, though none go with me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me. I've got a heaven to gain. I've got a hell to shun. I want heaven's gates, not hell's flames. There's something about where I'm headed that it's going to be worth every tear. It's going to be worth every prayer, because where I'm going, there's no sickness. There's no pain. There's no trials. There's no offense. There's no trouble. It's the Lord. The glory of the Lord will be there. And weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I got to make sure I'm moving forward in Jesus' name. In the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, there was a runner by the name of Safwan Hassan. She is an Ethiopian-born Dutch middle and long distance runner. And she completed, notice this, an unprecedented triple at the Olympics in 2020. She won the gold medal in both the 500 and the 10,000 meter race. And then she won a bronze medal in the 1500 meters. And notice this, this lady is the only athlete in Olympic history to win medals across a middle distance event and both long distance races in a single Olympic game. She's only the second woman to complete the Olympic distance double. And so quite an accomplishment, quite a runner. And this lady was in one of her races when it was entering into the final lap of her 1500 meter heat when the runner in front of her tripped and bringing Hassan crashing to the ground. Excuse me. And most runners may have called it a day. And Hassan said that the thought crossed her mind for a split second. And she could have filed a protest, potentially because the fall was not her fault. But she told herself that she didn't want to regret it later, and neither did she want all the excuses. And so she falls, and in the span of 2 seconds, she was up again running with everything she had. And at this time, the 11 of the world's fastest runners had blazed by her. And with not much time left and with already had ran a race, she begins to run again. And blazing one by one of the runners, she makes up the ground that she lost. And on the final straightaway, she surges past these runners and towards the pack of all the other runners, and she wins the race. And so this morning, I've come to just remind some people today that she fell and she was behind, but she also did not allow that fall to minimize her finishing what she started. Neither did that discourage her from running the race with all that she had, not just to complete the race, but to win the race. And I've come to remind and to preach to some people today that you may have fell, you may have fallen. It may have been as recent as last night. You may have fell out of the church in your relationship with the Lord, and maybe nobody saw you fall, and maybe you hit a roadblock, and maybe you had a low moment. But can I remind you that we are not running against one another? We are not even competing against the devil, because he's a defeated foe. But we are running on the right path, on the right track towards heaven, and we've got to just keep going. Come hell or high water, I'm going to run this race that the Lord has commissioned me to run. It's time for some of you to get up and keep going. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 24 and 16, notice this, for the just man falleth and he stays down, right? And riseth up again. Somebody say otra vez. Don't listen. Don't stop and look to see who saw you fall. Now I wanna call something out. Now I know some people they freaked out, they lost their ever loving mind in 2020 and they're barely climbing out. But if you remember in 2020, there was a lot of good things that took place. It wasn't all bad. We learned, we grew. Some of you bought houses, some of you got married, your business grew, you came back to church, got filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of, we learned, we educated ourselves about some things that some folks forgot to wash their hands, right, for years, and now you're washing your hands again. It wasn't all bad, it was a good thing. They still had the Olympics, hard to believe, in 2020 that took place in Tokyo Olympics, but notice this. Notice what took place. There were no fans in the stand. They were putting cardboard cutouts of people and putting them in the seats. So you just think about all the hoopla and glamour of what these runners were used to having. Training, preparing, planning for their entire life. That in 4 years, they were going to run before thousands, tens of thousands of people. And the time came where there was more people not there than that were there. And that did not stop these runners from running with all their might. In fact, some would train for 10, 20 years for their moment to come, for one race, for a 40-yard, for seconds to run with all they had for seconds, to throw the shot put, just feet, just moments to do it for a country, to do it for a respect and honor, and to do it for what we would understand for the pride of the Olympics. And this lady fell, and she didn't stop to see who saw her fall. We don't read today that she filed a protest and said it wasn't my fault and you embarrassed me in front of the whole world. She didn't look back to see who fell with her. Saints of God, you may have fallen. Don't stop to look and see who saw you fall. Don't stop to look back to see who fell with you. But get up and keep going and move forward in Jesus' name. It's not time to blame others and say, well, if we could have made a better choices, better decisions, well, could have, should have, would have. But right now, that's in the past. I'm here today. I can't do anything about what happened in the last 5 minutes. But what I can do is I can stand right here. Woo! I can look forward in Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor, it's time to get up. It's time to keep going on this path towards heaven, to not quit. Not walk off the track, not say, well, I'm going to change shoes, I'll be back, I'm going to sit this one out. No, there ain't no time for that, baby. We got to keep going. We got to press toward the mark of the high calling. Tell your neighbor, get up. Get up out of that hardship. Get out of that spiritual struggle. We've got to do what the prophet says in Micah 7 and 7. I'm going to look unto the Lord. I'm going to wait for the God of my salvation. And he knew something about the God of his salvation, that God will hear him. It's got to do what the Bible says. We've got to keep going. We've got to, the Bible says, he that put his hands to the plow, he can't look back. Looking back is not where you're going. It's where you came from. Why would some of you want to go back to where God brought you from? You're not a dog going back to your own vomit. You're a new creature. You don't live in the past no more. That's not your address. I know the devil keeps going back there because he thinks you live there, but you don't live there anymore. You got a new residence. You are going towards heaven, and you got to keep going. You got to keep coming to church even when you don't want to go to church. You got to keep being the church even when people in the church are not acting like they're in the church. Come on, somebody. I'm going to pray. I can't get no help this morning. I'm going to preach anyway. You got to keep serving God even when your husband doesn't want to serve God. You got to keep being a worshiper even when others don't want to work. Come on. I got to get some help this morning. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. Bible says not forsaking. Notice that. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And Paul wasn't ignorant. The writer of Hebrews isn't ignorant. He says, as the manner of some is. Because we know there are some that have forsaken the assembly. They have forsaken coming to church. But he says, but exhorting one another, not criticizing them. I can't get no help this morning, but I'm going to preach it anyways. Not condemning them. Don't say, they used to go to General Conference, but now they won't even come to church on Sunday. It doesn't say that. It says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach. How would you like it if the Lord called you by all your faults, all your shortcomings? He don't do that. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. He tells you, I'm with you to the end of the earth. He says, keep going. And your pastors come to tell you, just keep going, baby. Just keep going. Don't none go with me. I still will follow. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. We sang it this morning, 9 o'clock service. Somebody asked, well, what's the difference between the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock if you preach the same sermon? Well, there's a whole lot of different crowd of people. I essentially pastor two congregations is what it's coming down to. And 9 o'clock, we sing some of the old school songs from the hymnal. They sang this morning, I want to see him. Bless my spirit this morning. And the song says, as I journey through this land, singing as I go. Pointing fingers to everyone.
No.
Pointing souls to Calvary.
Yeah.
Many arrows pierce my soul from without and within. But the Lord directs my, leads me on. Through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him. You're not going to see him if you quit. But you will, as surely as I stand here this morning, if you keep going. Woo. When you see him, you shall be like him. You'll see him as he is. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. It was a bad year for the man of God that year, because he said in the year that Uzziah died, he wasn't saying it was all good. There was death, but he said, I saw the Lord also. Some of us have got to get our eyes off what's happening right here and see the Lord high and lifted up. That's why he says, set your affections on things above. We got to keep going. Because if we set our affections on stuff right here, we're going to lose the rest of our mind. Oh, the psalmist says, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after.
Yeah.
I wish I had time this morning to talk about the seeker, but he says, that will I seek after, that I may dwell. A dweller, not a visitor, not a guest, not someone that's taken up space, but a dweller. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord when I'm old, right? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord when I'm old, but I'll spend my young years doing what I want to do. Isn't that what it says? Where are you guys reading that at? I don't see that. is that what it says? Sister Parra says, all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Can I talk to some parents this morning? I know I'm preaching to the choir right now, but there's some online that I'm preaching to. That means you got to get those precious kids up on Sunday morning and bring them to Sunday school. But if they're sick, Pastor, then they stay home. And then when they get better, they come to church. But Pastor, it's early in the morning. Yeah, it's early. It's 11 o'clock. It's not as early as it is to get up for school 5 days a week. I'm coming for you. It means you bring your young people to church or youth night on Friday night so they can have fun. They can fellowship with good, godly young people that aren't perfect, by the way, because you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. But they're doing their best to serve the Lord. That means that we send them to junior camp. That means that we bring them to the place of prayer and we teach them and show them how to pray. It's not demeaning that you just bring them to church, that you bring them to a place of prayer. That means you got to have a place in your home and a time in your home where you pray, they pray, or even if they're not praying, they know, hey, it's quiet time right now because it's time to pray. It's time for them to fill the altars. I was blessed this morning to see our kids right here in the altars praying. That means because there's mommies and daddies that are showing them and teaching them how to pray. They got to keep going. Mama may not be here tomorrow. Daddy may not be here tomorrow. But oh, fathers, it's up to us to bring them into the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's up to us, the writer says in Proverbs 22 and 6, to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I just want to emphasize that's a proverb. It's not a promise. But we got to teach our kids to keep going, to be faithful. Tell them, hey. We're not perfect in this house, but we're on the right track. That would do some of you. I'm trying to help you as parents. Do you a whole lot of good after service. Hey, I just want to say something. Mommy and daddy aren't perfect. We make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes, but we love Jesus. We're going to do our best to serve Jesus. So we may get off track. We may do things, say things that we're not supposed to, but we're on the right track. This is the right track. Don't get off track. Mom and dad may have bad days, but all of our good days weigh out our bad days. We're on the right track, and we're going to keep going. If you ever get lost, I just want you to know right here, this is the anchor point. Pentecost is the anchor point. Apostolic doctrine is the anchor point. If you ever find your way, just know this is the right track. Mom and dad may quit. Grandma may quit. We may die. I just want you to know, hear, O Israel. I can't get no help this morning. The Lord our God is one. Except the man be born again of water and spirit. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. We're going to love Jesus big. We're going to serve him with all our might. No reason why you can't have a career in a business and still love God. There's no reason why you can't be a millionaire and live for God. There's no reason why you can't root for the Raiders and root for Jesus. Just root for Jesus 10 times more than you root for the Raiders. But you keep serving God. No matter if the trends change, God doesn't change. Tweet this. No matter if the power goes out, the power of the Holy Ghost is not going to go out of our hearts. Because his word burns in my heart like fire. And I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I just can't do it anymore. It's like fire shut up in my bones. The man of God said, you may be tired and wore out, but the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's why Paul writes, don't get weary in well doing so. You shall reap in due season if you faint not. That is a testimony to say, I'm going to keep going. I feel my help coming and I'm going to keep going. I've looked to the right. I've looked to the left. Can't find nobody greater. He's before me, behind me. He stands by beside me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So I'm going to keep going. ¿Cuántos dice amen? Amen? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You may have nothing to offer anyone. No fancy cars, no big houses, no bank accounts full of money. But live life serving God anyways. You can teach somebody about Jesus. There's no such thing as a sinner's prayer in the Bible. There is the Lord's Prayer. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. You can't fist bump your way into heaven or handshake your way into heaven. You can't even praise your way into heaven. You know why? Psalm 150 and 6 says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. But in John 4, he says he seeketh a worshiper. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm going to keep worshiping. Let the worshipers arise. Revival is more than an evangelist on Sundays. I know we're going to have an evangelistic service next Sunday. I'm excited for it. But when the rubber meets the road, the evangelist is not going to be there for you. Pastor won't be there for you. But the Lord, he's right there. Because there's a whole lot of things you don't want the evangelist to know, and you definitely don't want pastor to know. But even if you tell the Lord, you're not telling him something he doesn't know. Amen. Come on, somebody. So you keep going anyways. Keep going to church. You keep coming to prayer meeting. You keep serving God. Be all in for Jesus. Right? We weren't, the Bible says, no, but you weren't redeemed with corruptible things. As silver and gold. But notice 1 Peter 1 and 19. But with the precious blood of Christ. It wasn't just any blood. It was the precious blood of Christ. So you disciple your family. This means that you can lead your home. This means that you become an investor in the kingdom. Some of you may have 401ks on your job, pensions, 403bs or IRAs. All of those are long-term investments. Every single one of them. In fact, it is so long-term that if you're not even at a certain age, you can only draw out a certain amount. And there's such scrutiny about the priority of those investments in your 401k for long term, that unless you meet certain criterias, if you take money or borrow against that, there's high penalties. It's sometimes it's not even worth it to take it out because it takes you a lot longer to get caught up because the money compounds. Well, there is a penalty for serving sin, right? And it's paid the same as it's always paid since the beginning of time. But being an investor in the kingdom, he paid the price already once and for all. And he just says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Be a millionaire, but be a tither too. Be educated, but serve the Lord. Come on, somebody. I can't get no help this morning. Drive whatever car you want to drive, but just make sure you drive and put people in the car to get them to church. Come on, somebody. Wear a nice fancy purse, but make sure you have a Bible. Come on, son. I can't get no help this morning, but I'm going to preach anyways. You keep going. You keep going. Do you have your church clothes? Do you have your play clothes? But that's all they are. Because you traded the garment of heaviness for the garment of praise. And so you're a praiser, whether you're at church, in church, on the praise team, wearing a suit, or you're down at the hospital, or you're down at school, and you're just giving God thanks with the fruit of your lips, saying, man, Lord, it's a beautiful day, and I'm going to keep going. I'm going to serve you anyways. I'm having a few hours of a bad day, but this is still the day you made. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. I left old Grumpy at home in the bed, but I came to church anyways. I'm not going to make excuses for her or him anymore. I'm going to keep going. We're going to church. We're going to have church. When you're an investor, you look at things differently. You appreciate things that some people will take for granted, right? Those of you that own your own business, it's your blood, it's your sweat, and it's your tears. It's his church, it was his blood, and it is his tears. So if you're an investor in the kingdom, we've got to be an investor in the kingdom. And what God loves, we got to love. And what God hates, we've got to hate. And you're an investor in the kingdom, you know that you're going to get offended. Offenses will come, the Bible says. But you don't live with the offense. You don't go to bed. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You don't let the sun go down and be offended. If you do, that's your fault. That's your bad. Because some of the people that offend you may not know that they offended you. But what you do is you lay it down. You say, Lord, I want to have clean hands and a pure heart because I'm an investor in the kingdom. I'm going to forget those things that are behind and I'm going to press on those things that are before because I'm moving toward the mark. Of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. That means we keep praying.
Yeah.
That's why Paul says continue in prayer, Colossians 4 and 2. And it's the person that prays that's effective.
Yeah.
Right? James tells us in James 5 and 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yeah.
Any of you have any affliction here this morning? Let me see. Personal outside affliction? Let me see. Everybody, show of hands. Because I'm going to help you right now. Raise your hands. Look, I want you to look around. All right, I got the answer. Anybody want the answer?
Yeah.
Only one person does. Okay, we're not going to go there then. I was going to give you the answer. Anybody want the answer for your affliction? James 5 and 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him whine. Let him post on social media. No, let him pray.
Amen.
I say the greater the affliction, the harder you pray.
Yes. Amen. That's really good.
I like to celebrate.
Yeah.
I like to celebrate.
Yeah.
And some of you have got to remember that small victories are victories too. Right? Any of you ever play T-ball or baseball, Little League, on a non-church night? Right? And, I mean, you were just so excited that you could hit the ball. Right? You bunted it. Whew. Never made it on base, right? But did it help? Did it help or did it hinder you when everybody's all boo? Oh man, you struck out again. No, that didn't motivate you. That didn't help you. That actually embarrassed you. It made it worse. You get up to there all timid, all scared. I'm going to strike out, and my dad's here, and he's watching, and he used to be pretty good, and now I'm going to. That doesn't help you. That's not edifying.
No, it's not.
Right? That's not cool. We don't like that. We don't like bullies. Don't be a bully. We don't like bullies. Small victories are victories too. But when you hit the ball and you get on base, hey, celebrate, right? You hit the ball and you hit a you get to the second base. That's a victory too. Most people don't get up the first time they get a baseball bat and they hit the ball. They don't hit a home run their very first time. Can I tell you, Babe Ruth? I know this is taking it way back. Babe Ruth was known for having hit the most home runs, but you know what else people don't know? He also struck out more than anybody else. But we don't talk about that. We talk about the home run hitter. Comes up, points, I'm going to hit the ball over there, and I'm going to hit a home run. Everybody's, oh, yeah, whatever. Big old out of shape chubby dude gets up, boom, hits the ball. We're still talking about the dude today, right? We don't talk about his strikeouts. We talk about the victories. Hey, quit talking about what the devil did, what the devil's doing. Just say, you know what? He's under my feet again. He got up. I went down. I said in Jesus' name, I got back up. And I'm moving forward. I'm going to heaven. Job says, though thy beginning be small, your latter end should greatly increase. So you need to learn to prophesy to yourself. You need to remind yourself about some things. That you're forgiven. Thank the Lord you're forgiven. I should have got 100 amens from that. Can you imagine carrying around the stuff that the Lord forgave you from? Yeah. You'd put U-Haul trucking out of business, right? Yeah. You'd put Amazon out of business. That's hard to do, right? If we had to carry around, lug with us all the stuff God forgave us from, right? Don't do that to yourself. Lay it down, live it down, or lay it down and leave it there and remind yourself, I'm blessed. Yes. I'm forgiven. Yes. I'm alive. Yes. I'm a worshiper. Zechariah says, who hath despised the day of small things? Hey, it may be small to someone else, but it may, in the eyes of the Lord, it's you're his children. You're his people. There's no big me's, big eyes, a little use. No, we just keep going. We just keep going. You got a great church. You're not incarcerated. You're not in rehab. You're not in the hospital. You have a Bible. There's a lot of people, believe it or not, they don't have a Bible. We have a Bible. You have running water. You've been forgiven. Can I remind us? You've been forgiven again and again and again. And the best part, he loves you. Bible tells us in Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Mm-hmm. Some things will only change if you change.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Now, some of us have never met a taco we can't reject, right? We take dominion over it, and it's gone before it even has a chance. But there's some of you, you've got some perseverance in you to do some things that you're just waiting for the right opportunity, the right thing, the right phone call to start doing it. There's never going to be the right phone call, the right time, the right opportunity. In this day and season that we're living in, there are people that are becoming millionaires. We're starting churches. We're not closing churches. We're starting churches. We're growing. Church of 200. It wasn't 200 7 years ago. We're churches growing. There's people getting married. There's people who prodigals have come back. There's because people just kept going. They just kept going. Some of you, your marriages are stronger because you kept going. Some of you, your finances are stronger because you kept giving in the offering. Will a man rob God? But can I tell you, some things will only change when you have the mindset and the attitude that this is the day that everything begins to change. Today is the day of salvation. I'm not going to live like that no more. I'm not going to think like that no more. I'm not going to talk like that no more. I can't wait, Pastor, till church is over because you're holding me up because I got to get home and I got to make some changes today, tonight. So would you hurry up and preach so I can talk to the Lord and I can get out of here driving the speed limit a little bit over and get home to do some things I got to do because I'm going to keep going and I'm not going to stop there. I'll be back on Wednesday. I'll be back on Thursday because I'm going to keep going. In fact, if I owe the Lord some stuff, I'm going to get home online. I'm going to take care of it. I don't care what the fees are, but I'm going to keep going because I'm going to heaven and it's all about heaven. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. No se trata de ti. Dios es mi salvación. God is my strength. He is the lover of my heart and I'm going to serve Him with all that I've got. I like this Bible verse, Sister Verena. It's so powerful. Galatians 3 and 26, it says, for ye are all the children of God.
Yep.
Yeah, that's who we are.
Yep.
Now, some may have a strained relationship with your earthly relatives. They may have disowned you, may not talk to each other. You may get on their last nerve. But you're all the children of God. You may have not have been acting like it. You may not be feeling like it. But you are. It's time for us to start believing that.
Yeah.
Right? Psalm says in Psalm 41 and 10 and verse 11, Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up. Notice this. This I know that thou favorest me. Because my enemy doeth not triumph over me. Let that get into your spirit and your heart. That if God be for you, who can be against you? Some of you need to get real familiar with that word, who. Who said that? What was it back in the day? Back in the 90s, they'd be like, talk to the hand.
Yeah.
Right. Block them. Right. Just don't even get the call no more. You just block them. Right.
That's so good.
Right. Some of you need to let the power of God jumpstart your worship again. Micah 7 and 8 tells us, when I fall. Not if, but when. I will sit down and mope and order a shirt that says, I fell. No, it says, when I fall, I shall arise. It may take you longer than others to arise, but that's okay. Don't sweat it, bowheaded. It's going to be okay. It's all right. The Lord will be a light unto you.
Amen.
Right? You can make it. You can make it. Somebody say, I'm going to make it. But Pastor, I let you down. Okay, good for you. You let me down. It's all right. Get up.
Yep.
Why embarrass myself and my family? Everybody knows. Really? All the people in the world know. More people don't know than do know. Just in case you're wondering.
Amen.
Right? Oh, yeah, but there's a lot of people that they know. It may be a lot of people to you, but 5,000 people compared to 7 billion people, that's not a lot. I mean, But I said I was going to do better. Okay, well, we have all said we're going to do better at times, right? And we didn't slow the spread, and we grew, and right? But get up. Get up. Keep going. You got to get up. Down is not where you belong. Down is not where you're living. Down is only where you're at when you're praying or you're helping somebody up. Down is not where you need to stay and get used to. He said, I've been so down, I got to look up to see the bottom. No, you get up. You need to wash your face spiritually this morning so you can see clearly and say, you know what? I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. One inch, one day, one crawl, one prayer, one service, one song, one dance, one verse, but I'm going to keep going. The musicians would begin to make their way. Paul says, we must hold on to the progress we have already made. We must keep going in the direction that we are now headed. That's what we got to do. Don't turn back. Don't quit. We got to get out of the neutral zone. Not living in the mud. The pigs live in the mud. We don't live in the mud. You may be crawling right now, but at least you're crawling. Right? We got to let God clean our heart. Renew our spirit. David said in Psalm 51 and 2, wash me thoroughly from my sin. Cleanse me. Not just wash my hands. No, cleanse me. You know what's happening this morning? You're starting to believe that you can do it again. Some of you say, well, Pastor, I've been here. Hey, being here is not enough because we're not there yet. When we're there, then you can sit back and play, it's all good in the hood. But when we're still on earth, here on earth, we've got to be seekers of the kingdom. It's not over until the trumpet sounds. Paul says in Philippians 1 and 6, as we stand, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work will complete it. Don't look at the mishaps. Don't focus on the injuries of the race. Don't focus on the distractions that are in the stands. Don't look at the setbacks. Excuse me, but look at the setups. This is quickly becoming a very favorite Bible verse of mine, Hebrews 3 and 14. Notice this. If we hold the beginning, we are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end.